Last week's Big Island earthquake sent scientists on Mauna Kea scrambling. The 6.9 quake and aftershocks forced the evacuation of observatory staff. One of the two Keck telescopes suffered some damage to its mechanical bearing system. Both facilities were taken offline as a precaution, but are now back in operation. We happened to be traveling up another mountaintop, Maui's Haleakala, when the tremor hit. Construction crews felt the jolt as they worked in the telescope that some call King of the Mountain, DKIST, short for the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope. We talked with construction manager Heather Marshall about how her crew sprung into action, making sure the multi-million-dollar investment, which is in the final stages of construction, was A-OK. Following the jolt that was felt up through the hillside, we went along for a tour, floor by floor. We started outside, getting the bird's-eye view from a landing nearby. So tell us, what's the procedure when something like that happens this high up?
Well, it depends on the severity of the earthquake. In the eventual implementation, we'll have some different sensors that will give us information about the different G-forces that the observatory is experiencing and what kind of damage that we might be subject to. Obviously, we've followed all of the applicable building codes, such that the observatory is safe for the occupants and people in the vicinity. But we have a lot of specialized equipment that we've put a lot of investment into, so we want to protect that as well. So there's some special features with the telescope and the enclosure and the Coudé rotator and the primary mirror cell. Those are all the main pieces of hardware that we have in place right now. So each one of those has different restraints that will engage in case of an earthquake to prevent major damage.
The solar telescope is a massive project of steel and glass that dwarfs anything else around it. Working construction high up at the 10,000-foot level, you do have to pace yourself. The air is thin, and you might find yourself moving slower. The large mirror that arrived on site recently is being prepared for installation.
It's basically a gigantic contact lens, and it was monolithically cast out of Zerodur, which is a product made by Schott, a German company. They cast that, and then it was sent in that crate there to Arizona, where it was figured to the very precise shape that we need for doing the science of DKIST. And our primary mirror is in the coating chamber over at our neighbor's facility. So the glass by itself, it's only very slightly reflective. So in order to collect all the precious photons, we put a very thin coating, about 1,000 angstrom thick of aluminum, on the surface of the glass, and that is actually what makes the primary mirror of the observatory. You can see that we're going to great lengths to protect the neighboring observatories. There's an air handler here, as well as ice tanks there. So we're trying to do as much as we can to reduce the energy usage of the facility, both for efficiency and for utility costs, as well as to prevent any kind of adverse effects for the neighboring observatories, who all are also going to be continuing in their research.
Most of the work on the shell of the telescope looks nearly complete. Marshall explains the components are manufactured off-site and put together much like Legos or an Erector set. But it's anything but child's play. Precise engineering that will allow scientists to take a look into the sun to better understand our universe.
Basically a ship in the bottle. So we've kind of got the bottle finished. That's been finished for maybe a year and a half or 2 years. And now we're building the ship inside, and that includes the telescope and all the optics and the instruments and the electronics and the software and the controls and the data that we'll be collecting.
Okay, so that's the snapshot from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, we stop at the base of the structure as crews check to see if the telescope housing is still sound.
We're here at the Coudé rotator, the Coudé level of the observatory. What you see is a 16-meter diameter rotating platform with a number of different reinforced areas, which is where the first light suite of instruments will be placed. The big mirrors are in ongoing installation right now. Most of the instruments, in fact, have relatively small optics by the time the beam gets down here. It's more precise. It's been sliced and diced and separated into its component pieces for measuring things of interest.
We then work our way up to the level which will house the critical parts of the brain of the system.
And this is the telescope level of the observatory. This is where the telescope and the dome rotate.
Okay.
I'm high up, deep in the telescope. It's about seven stories high where the crews are working. I wonder if they ever get bugs up here. I'm told there's maybe butterflies, some ladybugs, but not much else.
DKIST, it's on track for the first images in early 2019, with the plan to be operational late next year or early 2020. High in the sky, visitors to the summit marvel at the majestic sights and vistas. Tim Landon, who hails from Texas, where they like everything big, is glad for the opportunity to be up in the clouds, where the DKIST telescope will soon provide a deep window into the sun.
The terrain is just 1,000% different than anything else you've ever been at. And it's just so quiet, peaceful, and cool. It's wonderful.
Not like anything Dallas has, huh?
Not anything like Dallas has.
Once complete, the Haleakala Solar Telescope will be the largest and most powerful in the world, eclipsing one currently operating in California. Its price tag, $344 million. And once it's operational, scientists from all over the world will be able to apply to the observatory for time on the telescopes, as the facility is a collaboration of more than 20 international groups. Tomorrow, we'll be taking a closer look at the science behind that solar telescope, which is expected to be brought online as early as next year.